The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords. This is the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
If you are brand new to rental property investing and you're trying to figure out how to buy your first rental, I wrote an ebook that'll show you how to get started. You can download it right now. Just go to landlordgift.com. Last week, we had a really inspiring interview. Lewis joined us on episode 184, and he told us his story about how he started with absolutely nothing and built a rental portfolio that generates him six figures a year in rental income. Well, my guest on the show today heard that episode last week and reached out to me because his story, he thought, was very similar to Lewis's story. He also started with nothing. He built up a rental portfolio that was generating six figures a year in rental income. And he was managing his portfolio really the same way that Lewis is. And everything was working out great for him. And he kept on growing his portfolio. And as he got to $200,000 a year, he figured out that he had to do things differently if he wanted to keep working full time and keep doing his rentals. So I thought it would be interesting to bring him on today to kind of compare how he's doing things versus how Lewis was doing things on the episode last week. So let's take a real quick break. We'll come back in 1 minute and we'll meet Joel Towner from Houston. The first step in buying a rental property is to get pre-qualified. And I would suggest you work with a lender that specializes in working with investors because you don't want to get to closing and find out the money's not there and you can't close. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's got a special offer just for our listeners. She's offering to waive all the pre-qualification fees if you mention Rental Income Podcast. Find out more today. Contact Chaley at ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E lendinggroup.com.
Would you like to know the easiest way to create wealth and passive income with real estate? This is Marco Santarelli with Norada Real Estate Investments. Now you can access the best deals without the stress or hassle of having to find, renovate, or manage those properties. We save you time by providing you with passive income investment properties in some of the best U.S. markets. Learn more by downloading your free copy of The Ultimate Guide to Passive Real Estate Investing. There's no obligation and nothing to buy. Simply visit PassiveRealEstateGuide.com and get your free copy today. That's PassiveRealEstateGuide.com.
Hey, Joel, thanks for coming on the podcast. So let's get into your story. I'm excited to kind of walk through this. So what you did to get to your first $100,000 in rental income is very different than the way you operate things today, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, thanks for having me on the podcast. Happy to be here and talk about kind of how I've gone through the process.
Yeah. So take me back to the very beginning. What was your very first rental property?
Yeah, my first rental property was a duplex in Austin, Texas, and I had been working with a couple friends. We were starting a small business in Austin. Was looking for a more cost-effective way of living when we were putting a lot of money into the business, decided that buying a duplex and having a roommate on my side of the duplex and renting out the other side would be about as efficient as I could make it at the time. And so that's really what I started honing in on.
So were you able to cover the mortgage and basically live for free on that property?
Yes. Awesome. It was about $135,000 property that I bought, and the rent from the other side and from my roommate covered absolutely everything.
I love it. That is the way to do it. Now, as you've built out your portfolio, house hacking has been a big part of your strategy, and you've actually done that five different times.
Yes. After I started with that property in Austin, I quickly realized really how powerful it could be.
Yeah.
So when I had eventually moved to Houston, started again in Houston and went right back into house hacking, with a townhome and then a fourplex and a triplex.
Wow.
Over the past couple of years.
So are you basically moving every year or so?
It was about every 2 years. I think, 1 year in the, a little over 1 year in the townhome, 2 years in the fourplex and, 2 years in the triplex.
That's awesome. So every time you've bought a property, you haven't necessarily needed a big down payment because you're able to get that owner occupied loans. Like, so have you done like 3.5% FHA loans every time? Or?
Yeah. So I've done the FHA loan. I haven't necessarily put only 3.5% down, just because from numbers wise and cash flow wise, I think when you go that far down,
It's harder.
It's harder.
Yeah.
And certainly the lower you go, the more risk there is. But I've used that product to give myself flexibility in how much I put down in order to get into the property that I want and a deal that I think works.
That's great. Now, in addition to house hacking, you've also bought other properties that you haven't lived in. So tell me about that. Was that like more difficult, or did it seem more risky to buy a property that you weren't living in first?
I was pretty comfortable with that entire process from having managed the Austin house remotely, and felt pretty safe about getting into the houses, even though I wasn't going to live in them.
Now, last week on the show, Lewis was talking about the way that he manages his properties, where he manages his tenants a lot over text messages. He uses spreadsheets. It's really kind of simple the way that he manages things. And you were doing the exact same thing when you were getting started, but at some point you had to shift and change up the way that you were doing things. So talk me through that. So at first, when you just have a couple of properties, did you find it was just kind of easy to just kind of deal with things, and then it just became more difficult as you got more rentals?
Yeah, I think that's a fair description, and maybe efficiency is a better word. When it's only one or two rentals, the inefficiency of what you're doing may not be as apparent. But the more rentals you get, the more cities they're in, the farther apart you are from them, the inefficiencies start to show themselves a little bit more. And so you start to adjust and say, is there a better way that I can do, this particular aspect? Is there a better way that I can interact with tenants? Is there a better way that I can manage the financials for the property? Is there a better way that I can be managing and handling maintenance? But it was really inspiring to hear Lewis talk about some of the things he's doing, because I was thinking back and being like, yes, it's exactly what I was doing. And I think for your first couple of years as you're doing things, it's very much whatever you can do to save money. It's simple ways. It's using things like Chase Quick Pay or Venmo or PayPal, to make it really easy for tenants to get you money immediately. And know that it's immediately in the bank. But at the same time, having all those different options sometimes, to me led to a little bit more chaos. And, then you stand back and say, all right, is there a better way that I can be doing this? And that's when you start to, when at least I started to get into, okay, let's get a consistent tenant portal, maybe the instantaneous cash flow that some of those options offer me is not quite as important as having a uniform tenant portal across all tenants.
Right. So that was maybe one of the first things you did, was you switched from using multiple payment platforms to just using Cozy to accept payments.
Yeah. Okay. I had actually used a different one called eRent Payment for a while. But that transition into having a uniform tenant portal for payments and for maintenance requests became one of the, I'd say, key transitions that I made as I moved through and got additional rentals.
Yeah, I love Cozy. I mean, that's a real easy way to collect payments and to kind of manage your rentals. If anyone wants to look up the link for it later on, I'll put a link to Cozy at the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 185. Now tell me what else you're using for software wise. So you stopped using spreadsheets and now you have like you're using some kind of platform to keep track of everything expense wise.
Yeah, so I started with spreadsheets too, and then moved to Quicken and QuickBooks, and actually used Quicken and QuickBooks for quite a while. But I grew really frustrated with it because of the some of the problems with the software, you know, some of the connection problems to banks, and it became really difficult to analyze the quality of the investment on a property by property basis. And sort of part of this evolution and changes comes from what am I looking to do next? And especially now as one of the things I was looking to really hone in on next is, you know, being able to analyze the investment correctly. And that became a big focus. And so, you know, Quicken and QuickBooks inability to allow me to do that easily in a really user-friendly manner led me to start go looking for another software for the back-end office. And that led me to something called Rental Hero, which I discovered and have been using for about 5 months now and absolutely love it.
So that is kind of like a QuickBooks for rental owners?
Yeah, it's specifically designed for rental owners and rental real estate. What I like about it in particular, aside from all the normal just linking to your bank account, automatically downloading transactions daily, it'll automatically, you can, you know, teach it to categorize expenses automatically. But then you can really easily assign the expense to a particular property.
And then you can
sort by property so that you can look at your, you know, profit and loss for one particular property, as well as looking for profit and loss for all of your rentals in a given year or a given period.
So when a rent payment comes in, so the tenant pays over Cozy, and so Cozy, the tenant would use Cozy to make the payment online to you via ACH. That would then go to your bank account, and then the Rental Hero software then sees the payment from Cozy. Does that automatically update that income into your account?
Yeah, it automatically loads into Rental Hero, and depending on what amount, if it happens to be a unique amount, then, you know, I can teach it to say it's all automatically rent income and it's automatically associated with this particular property. But for the most part, for rental income, I can teach it to say, you can get it to say it's automatically rental income.
Okay.
And then as it automatically downloads, I'll just go in and click down the drop-down menu and say, that's, you know, that's property A, this is property B, this is property C.
That sounds awesome. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to have a link to that too at the website, rentalincomepodcast.com/episode 185. Now, one of the things that you have done recently here is you decided that you didn't want to manage your properties anymore and you handed it off to a property manager. Was that just a function that it was just becoming too much work to manage your properties?
Yeah, again, it's a matter of evaluating, I think, what the cost is, and and the amount of work it is, and you've got a limited amount of time as an investor, and you ought to be constantly asking yourself, what do you want to be spending your time on? And when you start out, it's easier to say, I've got enough time to do, both painting a wall and handling the management and the maintenance requests, and, you know, working with a realtor or doing the leasing yourself. The more rentals you get, the more I found I want to hand off aspects of the management to various folks in order to better use my time in a way that's more valuable to me. And so it's really gotten to the point where there's enough day-to-day management stuff going on that it's time to pass that off so that I can open that time up to something that is going to be more valuable, which is going to be identifying more properties to purchase down the line, better evaluating the cash flow analysis on the existing properties, making decisions about when to buy and sell, those types of activities.
Right. Now, as far as maintenance, a lot of times when you go with a bigger property management company, they might have in-house maintenance, or maybe they're able to get a really good price because they do a lot of volume with contractors. Have you found that you're able to get better pricing on repairs going through the property manager than you could trying to deal with contractors on your own?
Yeah, I think I'd say the initial reaction I have is yes. I'm still early enough in the phase where I'm going to be collecting data on this very point. And this is one of my biggest questions in making the transition is, will the property manager essentially pay for itself, or what's the true cost of the property manager in comparison to, my self-management? Because certainly one of the things that I started to notice is there are certain things that I could get great deals on as a self-property manager, across the board. Like, for example, if I needed to change out a major system, like an air conditioning unit, it's easy to find a service provider who, when you say you've got 5 to 6 rental properties or 10 to 12 rental properties, you can get somebody to give you a good deal on those major systems because they know that your other houses are going to need one. If you always come to them, that's a good deal. It's much, much harder, I found, to find somebody who will give you good deals on the really, really small stuff that has to get done in order to optimize revenue. And so it becomes, ironically, easy problems to fix become harder problems to manage because you cannot do it as efficiently. And so that's certainly one area where I've noticed already in turnaround operations as we prepared a unit to get rented out, that some of the costs that I saw the property manager taking care of, I immediately recognized as what I thought would have been cheaper than what I would have gotten from my own handyman that I had utilized.
Sure.
And so, I've got through Rental Hero a couple of years of data that I've gone and back entered into what my expenses were and what my operating budget was. And I'll be looking to compare that to the next 6 months and start to see if I can get a sense of what the true cost the property manager is.
I think that'll be interesting to watch to see, because sometimes, and I don't know if your property manager does this, but a lot of property managers will mark up the expense. So if the contractor bills $100, they might charge $110. So it's the kind of thing where it could cost you more, but it could also be cheaper and less hassle. So I think that'll be interesting to track over the next couple of years and see how that works out. All right. So as we kind of wrap things up here, I just want to highlight real quick, maybe what you would do differently if you were starting out today, like knowing what you know now. Do you think that you would have self-managed? at the very beginning, or do you think that was valuable? Like, is there anything in your new strategy of managing rentals, is there anything that you think you would do today if you were just starting out?
Well, I think one thing that I would do differently is I got a little bit, I think, maybe careless with the mindset of you can make money on any property, and got very focused on price and rent, and if it was, if the numbers worked, then immediately I thought, great, buy it, get my money in, get it working. I think if I went over and did it all over again, I would understand that there are probably some big differences in the age of the house, and that if you can look for something where the numbers work, where you're paying a lot more attention to the age of the systems in the house, mm-hmm. The age of the house itself, that basically not all houses where the numbers are the same are equal,
right?
And that it would be worth it to maybe let one or two more deals pass as you analyze and really start to focus on, is this the best quality house that I can get for these numbers, rather than just, is this a house at numbers that work?
That's a good point. That's really awesome. Well, Joe, if anyone has any questions or they want to reach out to you, what's the best way for someone to contact you?
And they can reach me at joel.towner@gmail.com. That's my personal email address. And happy to chat with folks about the Houston market, or what I've done, what mistakes I've made, what successes I've had, and how it can help them.
If you want to look up Joel's contact information later on, I've also got his email on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode185. Thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back with a new episode next Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new Caramel Chocolate Cold Brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.